remaining tax funds received to the Pliget account. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. I just noticed that.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. Zoning.
Still second that one, right? Did we vote on it?
Yeah.
It's been seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
So passed. Zoning.
Sure. Since the last meeting, three zoning permits have been issued for a shed, a new well, and an entry porch. I received a 90-day time extension request for the AutoZone land development from Mr. Carmen Didiano. They also filed a sign permit application. Mr. Didiano sent a list of the adjacent property owners and a notification letter template as well. I also received construction drawings, civil drawings, statement of special inspections, building officer's comment letter, their response, and a flash drive containing copy of each file. And that's all.
Were they posted on the website like we discussed at the last meeting?
The land development plan is on the website. The construction permit goes to the building officer.
Very good. And before we move on, can we just go back to treasurer for a minute? And we just need to make sure that the ambulance quarterly amount goes to the ambulance company before the end of the quarter.
Sure.
And it looks like we'll have to use our $7,500 donation from our regular account if we don't get enough ambulance tax, so we may have to come out of pocket for $1,000 on an interim basis if we don't get any more taxes before the end of the month. Hopefully, we'll get some more taxes from the tax collector before the end of the month.
Sure.
But please make sure that goes out.
Sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Public participation.
How about we...
I was going to say.
Mike's here, yeah.
Yes.
We don't want to take any more of your time than we have to.
I'll bring them back out in the rain.
It's up and on. A little flooded coming off the interstate there.
So good evening, everyone. Just honored. Mike Bello, Chief Milford Fire Department, dropping off our report. It's been a little while. Our apologies. It seems too many incidents occurring on Monday nights along with trainings and stuff, so this is an up-to-date report for 2025. Rachel has requested a little bit more detail on the finance. We'll get that over to you in the next couple of weeks. Scrambling to put everything in order with all the other events that we have going on. So the other thing that I've included in here is just kind of an awareness thing. This is in regards to the parade that's going to occur in Milford Borough this Saturday. So we've worked with Milford PD, Pike County Sheriff's Office, State Police, EMA for Pike County, Roads Department over there to put together a very comprehensive plan to hopefully ensure public safety during this event, because it's going to be pretty large. So during that event, we did schedule the township building's parking lot as our primary landing zone. Township's always been gracious enough to allow us to use the parking lot as a landing zone. So we wanted to give you like a heads up notice that, God forbid anything do occur, that this is going to be our primary landing zone. Now, with the understanding that I know it's Girl Scout season, so hopefully you'll have people in the, you know, if you have people out there, no problem. Just as long as they are aware that if something major happens, we may ask them to step back or relocate for a brief period of time if we have to land a helicopter.
I don't think there's anybody in there.
Well, I think they ask for every Saturday of the month, but I think they're done before 1 o'clock. I think they're only in the morning.
9 to 12.
No, offhand, Shauna, what the time was on the Girl Scout cookie request?
I have to check on that.
Okay.
I know it was in the morning.
Could you please check on that and send the board a follow-up email with their times for Saturday?
Sure.
So the shutdown of the roads in the borough is going to be at 1 o'clock. That's going to be their hard shutdown. Everything's going to be diverted into the side roads. The parade doesn't start until 3 p.m. Just considering the large amount of people that is expected to be into the borough, that's why they planned on shutting down a little bit earlier than usual for this one. So, as I said, it's only a countermeasure. It's only part of the emergency plan. Should something happen, this is going to be our primary because it's the closest location to the borough should anything happen during the parade. Other than that, hopefully it's going to be over within an hour after that. There'll be some residual people in the borough, I'm sure, afterwards. They're expecting, I think, over 7,000 influx or something like that for the parade. So it's just kind of, we'll play it by ear. But security is tight, and there's an excellent plan in place working with all agencies. So I think we're ready. And hopefully, you know, our luck will be with us for the day. Other than that, as I said, I will drop off the additional financial side of this report. This is the call volume for last year, and we'll get that all updated and get back on track with everything.
Do you have a date yet for the, or a time that they're closing roads for the America 250 parade?
Not yet. The St. Patrick's plan that we have in place is kind of our precursor, our dry run for the larger parade that's being expected for America's 250. So anything we learn from this one will be added into that. But as far as times go, we're not sure. I don't think the borough has decided as a timeline yet.
And that's going to be on the 4th of July, right?
I believe so, yes. Everything I've heard so far has been is going to be actually on the 4th of July. And that could help us a little bit as well as far as clearing people after the event. A lot of people will want to take off and go to fireworks or something like that. Where the event coming this Saturday, we might have a lot more residual people hanging around in town and local restaurants and taverns after the fact. So keep you guys posted, whatever we got going on.
Okay, we will try to make sure that we do not schedule anything for the 4th of July for use of the parking lot. We'll just try to keep a note of that.
Thank you, that would be helpful.
Gray Towers told us that the 25th of April they're doing their Art at the Towers event, and they're expecting a large volume that day. We were going to shut Old Owego, so now we're not going to shut Old Owego. We're going to be, at least I'm going to be collecting trash with Pick Up the Poconos on Shakopee from Fire Tower back to Lily Pond that day. But I don't
think
we'll
have
any. Hopefully we'll have a few volunteers.
Yeah, get the advertising out. Hopefully people, you know, will show up for it.
Interesting updates that we should know about what's going on with the department?
The most interesting thing we have going on is the increased training that we're doing with EMS going into this year that we've already started and already put into effect is going from EMTB, which is basic life support ambulance, to EMTAs. That's an intermediate EMT, so entry level into ALS. So those EMTs, we carry additional medications. We can do additional interventions to help our patients a little bit better. The trend is going to EMTA, so that's where we're heading as well. Right now we do 3 days a week, 4 days a week with the A crew from 12 to 12, 12A to 12P, which is our in-service for the paid crew. But now we've actually increased our number of volunteers, and we're one of the few municipalities that still has volunteer EMS in service. So we've been increasing that. We added an additional 5 EMTs in 2025. We still have people in training currently, and they're picking up extra nights, all that other free time that we can get available out of them. So,
what kind of paid service hours are we running right now?
12A to 12P. 12 a.m. 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. 7 days a week. Yes, 7 days a week.
Okay. And how's the cash flow going with the sort of drought season that we get in with the county reimbursements?
It's going okay. We're filling in with whatever small amounts that we pull out profit-wise through the operation itself. That covers us in the interim during that. We're trying to balance with that, and we're also trying to keep our coffers full on the fire side because we do have a new engine that's due at the end of the summer, which is a $1 million project. So the cost of those things are just ridiculous. That was ordered 3 years ago.
Exciting.
Other than that, we're moving right along, you know, trying to keep everyone trained up and in service as much as possible. And 2025, we scratched on zero calls, meaning we failed the crew zero throughout the entire year. That's fourth year in a row, I believe.
Congratulations.
So I want to toot our horn too much, but we're doing very well. So.
Thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you, Mike.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
Appreciate
for all your support.
Are you still waiting for a follow-up from Eric?
Oh, yes.
On which?
On emergency management.
Okay. I'll follow up with him this evening to find out where he is on that. I did review the documentation for AutoZone. I got some information back to them.
Great.
So whatever else you guys need on that, you know, just let me know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It is a little after 7:15, so. Mr. Chairman.
Okay, at this time we'll suspend the township meeting to have a conditional use hearing for zoning amendments 306 and 431. Why don't you take over a minute, please?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the date and time that's scheduled for a zoning hearing regarding the planned unit commercial development use. Presently, the township ordinance does not allow for multiple commercial units in a single commercial piece. That was pointed out to us by an applicant. The township then went with the applicant and with special counsel and presented an ordinance to allow for multiple commercial units. And the ordinance also allows for, it establishes regulations for that use, as well as providing for it as a conditional use within the township's commercial zone, which is the developmental district. We also have an advertisement for section 306 tonight of our zoning ordinance. Formerly, the zoning ordinance had a section dealing with uses not provided for, but apparently when the 2017 ordinance was reenacted, that section was dropped from the ordinance. So section 306 basically says that if a use is not in the desired schedule of uses, then that use is considered to be a conditional use and needs to be reviewed by the Planning Commission. And the Planning Commission would have to recommend whether it's a desirable use to the Board of Supervisors, who would then conduct the hearing for the use, period. The basis of similarities of the use to other specifically listed uses within the district, which takes into consideration impacts of the use on the community and the general neighborhood where it is proposed, are all factors to be looked at. I noticed, note for the record tonight, that we did receive the following correspondence. First, we have an affidavit of publication from the Pocono Record indicating that this was lawfully advertised in the Pocono Record. We have a letter from the Pike County Planning and Mapping dated November 26, 2024, indicating that they have reviewed the Section 306 amendment to the zoning ordinance and that they have no comments and find it to be consistent with the municipal planning and Pike County municipal planning. We also have, with relation to the planned unit commercial development, correspondence from the law office of Belwar Kelly, dated January 12, 2026, indicating to the Board of Supervisors that the Milford Township Planning Commission met on January 8, 2026 and discussed the proposed zoning amendment, and that that proposal was being forwarded to the Board of Supervisors with a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors from Planning.
February 6, 2006, we received correspondence from the Pike County Planning and Mapping Office indicating that with one minor correction, removing a bracket in the second sentence of the ordinance, that they would have no objection to the ordinance. And we also had it reviewed by the Milford Township Zoning Officer. So the purpose tonight is to hear a public comment regarding the proposed curative amendment. We do have a court reporter present. I would ask that the anyone who wants to make comments, come up to the microphone, identify yourself, and please state your comment for the record. The ordinance has been available for review here in the township building. Generally, I will tell you that a planned unit commercial development contains two or more commercial buildings on one lot. In addition, there are minimum setbacks for the planned unit commercial development. That would be 50 feet from side and rear yard, or 50 feet from the front and 35 feet from the side and rear yard. The maximum lot coverage is still the developmental district 25%, 65%, provided all minimum setbacks may be increased to 75% along all property lines, provided that it be increased to 75 feet along all property lines. However, if the applicant provides sufficient engineering evidence as determined by the township engineer, that stormwater can be managed on the property and sufficient buffering is provided, the 75-foot requirement may be reduced to 50 feet. There are also requirements for adequate parking for each of the uses that may be in a multiple commercial development. The minimum area for this development must be 10 acres, and the minimum lot area per principal use is 20,000 square feet. For the record, Mr. Waldron, who initially provided the township with a municipal curative amendment, is here on behalf of his client, DEPG. And at this time, I would ask if any of the supervisors have any thoughts or comments, and also for public comment.
First, I just want to go back to what you stated about 306. I don't believe that that was repealed. I believe that the issue was that the original language was incorrectly indicated that the Planning Commission made a decision as to what the next use was.
Correct.
It's not that it was repealed or did not exist in the record.
I stand corrected.
Thank you.
Thank you. So do we have any comments regarding either of the ordinances? Mr. Stroyan, come on up.
Kevin Stroyan, S-T-R-O-Y-A-N, Milford Township resident. Thank you to everybody that's worked so hard on this and the applicants as well. I stand a little bit disappointed tonight in the fact that the applicant is not here. The applicant has been present through all the works and the stuff that we've done here. And I wanted the opportunity to ask some questions, most importantly, about their direct involvement in the community with whatever respect to their businesses or how, what kind of a benefit the people in the community are going to receive from this, and more importantly, for the lack of a better word, what sort of philanthropic activities do they get involved in each community? Are they community-based with their corporation or any of that sort of stuff? So I stand a little disappointed that I can't ask those questions directly. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Before you go, I just had a couple of questions about the ordinance that I wanted to ask, and I know you were very involved in the development of this. Was there any discussion about whether there is a conflict between the number two, section two, number of principal buildings saying that no more than 25% of the gross lot area shall be covered by buildings, and number five saying maximum lot coverage is 25% or up to 60%. Obviously, if you have a maximum lot coverage of 25% as your baseline, you can't have 25% being covered by buildings. So I'm wondering if that's a conflict in the language. Was that discussed at all?
The lot area was, yes, it was discussed extensively. I didn't realize in the finished document that there is a conflict of that nature, to be perfectly honest with you. The 25% is where we had left it, including, it was my understanding.
Okay. And the language that's in here about 608 and the language that's in here about other ordinances being applied, is that, was there discussion about particularly 431 and 426? Was that considered to be sufficient so that all the landscaping standards, et cetera, would be still applied to whatever came in under this planned unit?
I believe under the circumstances, to answer your question, yes. I believe under the circumstances, the way that's worded, it gives us some latitude to ask for more when it comes to the landscaping, to more than what the basic ordinance requires, I believe was the intent of that.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. We tried to keep some latitude.
Okay. And under section 414, the green space, the 20% of the green space, was it that the 20% also counts for non-impervious area if it's a non-impervious green space plan?
I don't think that was specifically discussed, but I think that's the general intent. If it's green space, it's not impervious.
Well, it said also recreation, so I wasn't sure if like
walking trails.
Well, if you have walking trails, or we have, if you have tennis courts, or you get that kind of thing, then that portion of it is obviously not going to be impervious. So.
But it's not excluded from their impervious coverage area, so it can be their.
The way it's written, you're right.
Okay.
The way you're included.
And then, was there any discussion about how it's impacted? And I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
That's okay. I'm sorry.
About the
language. I got thick skin. You do whatever you got to do.
I just would like the record to have as much background as to how we got to what we have.
Yes, I agree.
The section at the end about repealing sections that are inconsistent, was there any discussion about how that might impact non-PUCD developments and whether it would be more appropriate to say that it's superseded? Or rather than to say that those are repealed, was there any discussion about concern over that?
No, there was not, and you bring a good point. So, our intent was to protect us if there were something that was conflicting. But you bring a good point.
And I'm sorry that I didn't bring that up before.
No, that's okay. But yeah,
I didn't have a chance to really dig all the way into the final copy until. I was getting ready for today. So, okay. Also, was there any discussion about the compatibility of the uses? I know when we were looking at
the tried to have that conversation, yes, but that's a very difficult conversation to have and to keep on track. That puts us almost, my understanding was that puts us almost in the point where we're picking and choosing what they can and can't do. So, that's kind of a slippery slope, as I understood it.
So the train of thought was that the compatibility issue would be handled at the conditional use
stage. At the conditional use hearing, yeah. I would think that that's the appropriate place, because if we start getting it in there, then where do we begin and end? I don't know whether that's...
I think that was the thought.
Very same thing. I think that conditional use is when you say, gee, this is some incompatibility that would make this project not to the benefit of the public, you know. But yes, do you start making a list of the uses, and what if you don't include some, you know? So to do it in the ordinance is problematic. But This is only going to allow a conditional use application to come in if it gets adopted.
But right. you're being more basic, saying that you want us to have the opportunity, that decision while we're doing. I'm not sure where you're coming with that. So
yeah, my issue was to ensure that the uses that are being planned for the development, not just at the original plan, but at any subsequent changes to the plan, are compatible with one another. So, you know, the DD district for our ordinance is really broad. Most everything is a conditional use, but you wouldn't necessarily want to have a landfill on top of your, you know.
Well, that's why we go to the conditional use, too. So I don't know how we could, I don't know how we figure for every possible use and what they're going to do at a later time, especially when we have applicants like we have now that are crafting this, that we're changing so many of what the uses are as we go along. That's a difficult call.
And section 407 with the standards for non-residential would be applicable to anyone coming in with one of these plans.
Absolutely. This ordinance does not preclude the use of the rest of the, this section of the ordinance doesn't preclude the use of the rest of the ordinance.
Okay.
So yes, any other applicable section would be applied.
And was,
I'm not an attorney, so.
No, I just want the background of what the discussion was at the
right,
planning
no,
commission.
We didn't want.
Yeah, we also specified in the ordinance, Rachel, that 426 dealing with the
water protection.
Well, protection ordinance, and also 408 dealing with parking, as well as 608 and any other conditional use sections that would apply, and 407 being one of them because that's all non-residential uses.
Okay, right. And just, you know, the Planning Commission is still working on the modifications to 407 at this point in time. Was the fact that that is changing discussed with the applicant at all? With the person who requested this?
The applicant was probably at several meetings that we discussed 407.
I can't answer that directly, yes or no. I'm certain that they were in part of the discussion.
Yeah.
Were they specifically asked to? I can't answer that.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it.
I commit a good portion of it to memory, but not every bit of it.
Yeah.
Understood. Totally appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, thank you for
Kevin.
Your service.
Thank you again.
Thank you and the rest
and
of the Planning
to the
Commission
other members for
your
further diligence in, yeah. in
absolutely. This. Absolutely. Other than, you know, the final copy obviously shouldn't
I
say
do,
proposed.
I do want to add one more item. Go. I would appreciate it if the applicant would address my question.
Well, we'll have time at the subsequent conditional use hearings.
I think they need to be.
That would be.
I'm requesting that be answered separately, and I know the attorney's going to say no, so that's okay.
So proposed, obviously, we'll have to go off of the final copy.
Yeah.
At the end of the header, regulations is misspelled. Mm-hmm. Tony, can you speak to the issue, the concern that I brought about the conflict between Section 2 and Section 5? Where one says building area will not exceed 25% and the maximum lot coverage says 25%, because you really can't do a lot coverage of 25% and a building coverage of 25% at the same
yeah.
time.
I'm not exactly sure how that took place. I believe the thought process was that if there were multiple principal buildings, that they wouldn't exceed 25% of the gross floor area of the lot, with the understanding that there would probably have to be some type of a conditional use within the conditional use for the extension of the lot coverage. I think we tried to keep the buildings at 25%.
Yes.
And that was, mm-hmm. so we didn't want any buildings to cover more than 25% of the area. So
does anybody know?